The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. There's a whole lot of talking going on out there, probably too much. But human beings sure like to talk. In fact, it's almost true to say that to be human is to speak, or at least to communicate. I mean, even babies who cannot talk still communicate, mostly by crying, but they sure try to let you know what's bothering them. And then at the other extreme, when illness, accident, age take away the ability to speak, oh, we know that something terrible has happened. So we do our best to recover what was lost. For human beings like to talk. They want to talk. I mean, maybe they even have to talk. And so we're surrounded by words. In fact, you can almost say that we are drowning in words. Everywhere you look, maybe I should say listen, people are communicating conveniently, immediately, all the time. But what about listening? In a world of words, is anybody listening? Or is there anything worth listening to? I think that's really the modern challenge, isn't it? Not to generate words, oh man, we can do that, but to figure out which words to hear. Now, part of our challenge is technology. Do we listen to what comes from the old, the magazines, the books, the newspapers, or the new, the iPod, the Facebook, the Twitter, and whatever else is out there about ready to explode upon the planet? And what then about the content? How do we sift the good from the bad, the true from the false, the dangerous from the helpful? Now, those of you who are parents know how pressing this can be for your children. But all of us, even the most sophisticated among us, have to admit it, we are drowning in words, and a lot of those words are nonsense. So to be human may mean to speak, but speaking demands listening. That demands discrimination, because what we listen to may be a matter of life and death. Because words sometimes matter. But in fact, from a Christian perspective, there's really only one word among all the words that exist, one word that matters, and that is the word of Jesus. Now, in the cacophony that is modernity, it's audacious to repeat this saying of Jesus about the singular importance of his word, but here it is once again. Let's listen. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But if the Jews of Jesus' day found this hard to swallow and insisted that his offspring of Abraham, they had never been enslaved, and I've never yet figured out how they forgot about the Egyptians, or the Romans, for that matter. But even so, if the Jews then found the saying hard to take, how does this go over with modern Americans, who pride themselves on a tradition of liberty almost 2 centuries old, or over 2 centuries old? They don't need a word of freedom. They already have it. This is, after all, the land of the free, where everybody votes if they want to, and for sure, everybody talks. And Jesus' word doesn't get any easier for us to accept than it did for the Jews when we move to the subsequent verse in Jesus' explanation. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Oh, is that what Jesus is talking about? The freedom that he promises is not political at all, but spiritual freedom from sin? The Jews of old didn't buy it. But how about us? Is this then a word to which we should listen? But who in the world still believes in sin? Now, it's not that any of us think that this world is perfect. No, there's a lot that's wrong. We know it. We admit it. Usually, we'll look for somebody else to blame. But, you know, even in our most honest moments, at least sometimes, we'll admit that we've contributed to the problem to one level or another. But of course, it's one thing to admit to some involvement, maybe even a little blame, but it's quite another to acknowledge personal responsibility before God that's involved in the concept of sin. Problems, yes. Issues, for sure. But sin? I don't think so. And in fact, some of the nonsense words that are out there, the ones that bring death instead of life, have a great deal of currency among us as alternatives to sin. Now, it's somewhat ironical that those who take pride in personal civil liberties to indulge in what used to be called vices, but now are rights and privileges sanctioned by the state, it's ironic that many of those same people will accept slavery as an excuse to avoid responsibility. I can't help it, they say. I was programmed this way from birth. Or, my parents didn't raise me right. They were too permissive. Or maybe too oppressive. It really doesn't matter, does it? Take your choice. Because either way, I'm a slave. I'm a slave to my environment. I'm a slave to my genes. But in either case, my slavery exempts me from moral responsibility. That is, from any sense of sin. So, I don't need any message regarding Christian freedom. I don't want to be free from sin at all. Unaccountable? Yes. Free? No. But just as Jesus did not let his first hearers off the hook, so his word today still convicts us. The problem is sin. No excuses, no escapes, sin. And the Jews confirmed Jesus' statement by their reaction. What'd they do? Well, they wanted to kill him. His word offended them so much that they wanted to slay him. They showed their slavery to sin. But is the reaction of our world to Jesus' word any less revealing today? How, for example, are Jesus' followers treated when in modern America they speak out against sin? I mean, say, sexual decadence. Well, it's pretty bleak. The homosexual movement is washing over the United States, and anybody who dares to mumble an almost meaningless, "This isn't right," whoa, he's a hater, he's wicked, get rid of him. Elsewhere in the world, it's even worse. Christians are risking their lives just by living in places where they've lived for centuries. But now they find themselves in the midst of Islamic extremists. And so in them, Jesus is still being persecuted and killed. It's only when Christians remain silent, go with the flow, go quiet. Well, then the world just might let them alone. And the reason is that the world still rejects Jesus because he is the Savior from sin. Their sin, the world's sin, our sin. There's no other Jesus, and there's no other Savior. But you know, that is precisely why this alone is the word that matters. Amidst all the clutter of modern or ancient communication, amidst all the attempts to find words enable sin or avoid the consequences, Jesus still speaks. That's why God became man, to do all that was necessary to rescue from sin, and then to speak the word of liberty, forgiveness. And we still need to hear it. For what it says about us as sinners, yes, we need to hear that, but also about him as Savior. You see, there is a whole lot of talking going on out there, a whole lot of words, but we need to listen. Listen to just one. We need to listen to Jesus and abide in his word. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.